It's long been known that moving air can generate electricity. Conventionally, we've used wind turbines, which of necessity must be located fairly close to the ground level. However, wind speed typically increases at higher elevations in the atmosphere. What if we could harness that higher wind speed simply by flying a kite? You can join our conversation this morning, 800-838-3760 for the Jefferson Exchange, or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. Joining us this morning are David Schaefer of eWind Solutions, an Oregon company testing the kite model, and Ken Vaughn of Oregon Best, which is helping with the funding. David and Ken, good morning and welcome to the Exchange.
Morning, Bill. Happy to be here. This is Ken.
Well, hello, Ken. And we're trying to get David here. Let's see. David, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. We got both of you on the line. Good. Well, let's start off. I'll ask David this question. What is, and I don't know if the kite is the correct term, but describe how this thing works and if you have an actual name for it other than a kite.
Well, basically, we're a wind energy company, as you mentioned, except that we're called an airborne wind energy company, and that's generating power from tethered kites. It's a concept that's been around for hundreds of years, but really just now viable due to advancements in technology. The concept is really kind of simple. If you remember when you're a kid out in a field flying a kite, when the wind pulls, that pull that you feel on the string, that's really energy. And if you take that string, wrap it around a drum, attach that to a generator, then you create electricity. So basically, a lightweight tether replaces traditional wind towers and massive concrete bases that they sit on. So the tether, as you mentioned, is able to extend out and capture winds at higher altitudes where they're stronger and more consistent. And there's a limit to how far you can go legally. That's really basically the FAA height limit. Which is 500 feet. So we're starting off as a small system, 15 kilowatts, about enough to power five American homes or one farm. But the advantage we have is we're about four times more efficient than traditional wind turbines with a lower cost.
Tell me a little bit about how you launch these. I'm assuming you don't have some young athletic person running across a city park like they would with a kite. How do you get these up into the air, and how do you maintain their altitude?
So, as I mentioned, the concept is simple, but when you get into the details of some of the launch and recovery, those become a little bit more complex. But the system would be designed to be completely autonomous. It's got to run 24/7, or else it's not going to be a viable solution. So we would actually launch our kite automatically, similar to what you would do at a beach, although it's done with a computer and a GPS controls. So it launches on its own. And it would also return, since we're using the generator. If you reverse the generator, it becomes a motor. So then we can actually pull the kite down a lot easier. So recovery is typically a lot easier, just because we can physically yank on it and pull it back down.
Do you have a device that helps to try to locate the best wind speed?
So we'll have all kinds of instrumentation on the kite. So we'll pick up wind speed. And the advantage of such a system, too, as you probably know, is the wind varies with altitude. It varies on the condition of the ground. So the advantage of having a wind sensor on the kite is it's going up between 0 and 500 feet. It can figure out where the highest winds are. And so if the winds die down and it turns out that we want to operate between 3 and 500 feet or 4 and 500 feet, then we can do that. Or if the best winds are down lower. That's the advantage of at least the technology, is that you can move up and down where the best winds are.
And I believe I read that it looks more like a wing than a traditional kite. Is that correct?
It is true. It is true, yes. We're more of a fixed wing. So aerodynamics is really important. A kite flies, by the most part, from drag. It's drag that really keeps it well-positioned and stable. When you take that kite and now put a hard shell to it, it becomes more like an airplane, a tethered glider, so to speak. And it is much more challenging to try to control that. But the efficiency gain, because you increase the lift-to-drag ratio, is tremendous. So there's a big advantage to doing that.
Ken Vaughn from Oregon Best, how did you folks get involved with this project?
Well, we are an organization that helps to grow jobs in the state of Oregon, and we particularly focus on the kinds of companies where they have technologies that are good for the planet, renewable energy being one example of many. And we became aware of this technology and the fact that they were trying to develop it, and we've been involved in a couple of different ways. We helped the company write a successful proposal for a grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to help with their research and development, and then we have also funded a researcher at Oregon State University to help them with the sophisticated modeling, computer modeling, that's required to design a system of this complexity.
David, do you have a projected cost for each unit and how many kilowatt hours is produced? I know you mentioned that you wanted to start with farms. Do people need to have more than one of these flying at a time in order to generate enough power for all of their needs?
No. So a typical, this is going to be around 8 foot. As far as the wingspan goes, it'll have a sort of nameplate capacity of 15 kilowatts. It'll generate about 45,000 kilowatt hours per year, which is enough, like I said, for one farm or five houses. They can be stacked so that we have them in a grid pattern and become much more efficient in terms of land usage at that point. But the farmers are a great first application for us, just because, you know, they've got available land. We fly above the land. We require a very small footprint on the ground, about 10 foot by 10 feet, but we can actually fly over the crops. So the advantage versus solar is that solar, if you're in a farm, the solar panels get dirty or whatever, have to be clean. Same thing with a traditional wind turbine. They tend to, they're big. You don't want to get too close to them. You know, we have the ability, if you can imagine, a phone app where the farmer can just hit the button and say, come on down. It's not quite as easy to do that with a big traditional wind turbine. So we've gone out and interviewed a whole bunch of farmers, like 45 of them so far, and there's been great interest in the product.
We're speaking with David Schaefer of eWind and Ken Vaughn from Oregon Best, helping with the funding in the project. If you have a question for these gentlemen about this alternative energy project, give us a call at 800-838-3760 or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. Is the concept behind this relatively new, or has this idea been around for a long time and we were just waiting for technology to catch up?
That's exactly what it is. It's been around for 100 years. It's really the technology means it's advancement in materials, the carbon fiber, the tether material, Dyneema, is used in racing sailboats, and then GPS. Just the cost of GPS has just dropped so dramatically now. It's like you can buy a great system for $500, and you can put this kite wherever you want to. So it's really electronics and materials that have made this possible.
Dyneema, explain that again.
It's a Dyneema or Spectra. It's basically a plastic rope. It's very lightweight, very stiff, so we can have basically an eighth-inch diameter tether or string that holds our kite, pulling 500, 700 pounds. So it's an amazing material, but basically used on racing sailboats.
So it'll be the actual part of this that's spinning around as it connects to the generator?
So the Dyneema is actually just a tether material. It's a polymer-based just string. It joins the kite, which is flying in the air, with the drum or generator in the ground.
So it'll pull that drum and go, much like a regular kite, then going back and forth on the drum.
Very similar, although if you think about it, if you're just holding the string, you're not producing any power because there's no work being done. Also, if you let the string go, you're not producing any power. So there's a very critical ratio of how fast you let the tether out, how fast you spool it out, and it's basically one-third the wind speed where you generate the maximum amount of power.
Are there any other regulatory concerns? We talked about the FAA with their height limit. I know there's been a lot of talk lately about concerns over drones. Or possibly if it moved into a neighborhood area, would there be zoning problems with that? What are you facing in that regard?
Yeah, certainly the FAA has a number of, there's a height restriction, but there's a lighting restriction. There's a flags every so many feet, similar to you see like a high voltage line that would cross a river or something like that. But certainly there'll be local regulations that'll have to be adhered to, certain safety factors that we'll want, right? We definitely don't want to go over somebody else's land. We don't have any intention of putting cameras on these things. This is not a drone by any stretch of the imagination.
A question for Ken also. Is this a one-time only funding, or as eWind meets certain benchmarks, do you have the ability to continue to fund them with more money?
Yes. In our model, we sometimes fund companies only once for sort of helping them get over the phase where they're trying to de-risk their technology to get it to the point where private investors will invest or customers can adopt their technology. But in some cases, we do have phases of funding where we might do some smaller funding for a feasibility study, and based on the results of that, that project, then we might be able to provide additional funding.
For David, is this technology going to be tied to the grid, or is it something where it's going to be plugged into storage batteries?
Let me just follow up really quick on Ken's comment. I want to say that without Oregon Best support, we wouldn't be here. Oregon Best is a great institution in Oregon. And if you're in such a clean tech startup, I would highly recommend getting a hold of them. They've been helped through funding and through consulting and through helping us with loan applications, as I said. So, yeah, basically we would eventually want to be tied to the grid. The grid acts as basically a battery. So when we're producing more wind than anybody's using, you get sucked up by the grid. So it's, in effect, a battery. It depends, though. You still have to get through regulatory, through the small wind certification program in order to get the availability to tie to the grid and to be able to use some of the incentives that are available.
Does this play well with other technologies? For example, if an existing farm was using solar, would all of this work together really well?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? Traditionally, the winds are stronger at night than they are during the day. We operate more 24/7, but there's no reason you couldn't use it for solar. I mean, we can certainly fly above solar. There's some concerns of shadows we would want to cast, so we probably want to be critical on maximizing the power that comes out of the solar system plus the wind system. So there's some definite optimization that could occur there. But certainly solar would be a great matchup for this type of system also.
We have Bill on the line from Sunny Valley with a question. Go ahead, Bill.
Thanks. I was wondering, what is the actual kite made of, and how much does the system cost to complete? Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
Well, they have a rigid frame, or what we've been testing lately is a rigid frame carbon fiber tube, for the most part, some Kevlar. And then we've been trying to use performance sailcloth. So racing sailcloth as a shell. The whole idea here is trying to make this thing as absolutely as light as possible so that you can launch as early as possible and get up earlier on the power curve so you can be more efficient. So the goal is really trying to make this thing as light as possible. And then you would think on the far end, well, what happens when it gets really windy? Well, the whole idea, if it gets really windy, the percentage of when the wind is excessive is small to begin with, but we would just bring the kite down. So we would much rather be lighter and get up earlier and then come down when it's excessively windy.
And the cost is what?
Oh, the cost, we're still kind of working on that one. We're trying to figure out how we price this thing because it's kind of an oddball thing, right? You're talking about a new technology. There's a couple of companies in the world that are trying to develop this technology. Nobody has commercialized it yet. So trying to price it, we're comparing ourselves more to small traditional wind turbines that would be like the Bergies or the Zeros of the world, something that they classify as small wind is less than 100 kilowatts capacity. So we're thinking we might be in that $40,000 to $50,000 range. But we've really got to get to the point where we've got a complete system. We aren't commercially yet by any stretch. Get a complete system so we can get a better cost, and then to try to figure out a better price.
I wonder if this will be something that could be scaled down a bit. Someday will we be driving by RV parks and see a whole bunch of wind kites generating electricity? Could it come down to that level?
Yeah, it certainly could. And this isn't very big to begin with. If we're talking around an 8-foot wingspan, we're less than 15 pounds. We're not very big to begin with. We're certainly on the small end of the scale of what would be considered small wind. But yeah, certainly we've been approached by the armed forces and whatever that they'd like to have something that's portable. Certainly you can imagine in developing countries, remote islands, portable power, that kind of thing, just like you're saying, as long as you have the right to fly it, is what it's going to come down to.
What about noise? If you had, obviously out on a farm, that seems like that would be no problem, but if you were in a more densely packed neighborhood and quite a few people had these, would there be a point where the decibels would be too much for a neighborhood?
Yeah, we're nowhere near as noisy as a traditional wind turbine. Most of the noise we generate is from the tether ripping through the wind, and it's relative speed is higher as you go up on the tether, so it's nowhere near as audible as a traditional wind turbine would be.
You guys started in a garage. Are you hoping to be the next Apple?
I think everybody would love to answer that question. It's with a yes, but it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of work. We're mostly engineers, so it's a lot of work just trying to get funding and keep yourself going. And it's a blast. We have there's five of us. We greatly enjoy doing this. But yeah, someday maybe, who knows? But one step at a time.
Well, it sounds like a fun project that you're working on. What's your next big challenge?
More towards automated flight. Getting the next phase is getting the GPS guidance up and running. We're doing a lot of manual controls at this point, and we've been working with recording GPS data so that we can then feed that back into controlling the kite. But we're trying to do this as logical as possible and take small steps to get to the bigger long-term goal.
Thank you. Joining us this morning has been David Schaefer of eWind and Ken Vaughn of Oregon Best helping to fund the project. Thanks for being with us this morning, gentlemen.
Thank you.